bring Mark Scheifele back into your lineup here tonight, Paul?
Well, leading scorer and pretty dynamic young man, especially when you play against a team that skates as well as New York does. Having that speed will be a help. Gets Blake back to the wing. And then we like the structure of those two lines.
How tough was it to, you know, get him to understand that he needs to be 100%? You know, he's a guy that wants to play all the time. Was it tough in this situation?
You know what? A lot of that is by injury, the kind of injury that you have. There are some that everybody just understands you're not coming back to your 100%, certainly any concussion. But and then there are injuries that fall into how fast can it get bad on you? You know, there every NHL team has five or six guys playing with something that it's sore after the game. It gets a little better the next day, and you can play with it the day after that. This one, just as soon as he felt strong enough to play, we're not going to worry about it. He's going to be fine. There's a chance that anybody who has an injury can go back and re-injure it, but this one's not one of those ones that falls into that category of worrying about getting him through the game.
What did you learn about the Rangers in that last meeting in November?
Well, the same as what you see them on video. They've got a tremendous amount of speed. I think when you talk about a team like that and the goals that they've scored and the rush chances they generate in the game, you get fooled into thinking that it's not built upon a solid defensive foundation, and I think it is. They block more shots, I believe, than anybody in the league. They have five under the puck whenever it's in doubt. They're conscientious in that department, and they've got some pretty fine goaltending.
You talked a lot about communication, the importance of that. What's the communication been like with Kyle Connor, and how is he handling this stretch?
You know, well, and it's daily. The injury set him back. He came back in and just by flow of the bench, didn't get a lot of minutes. That wasn't a function of him. It was the games that we were playing. And we've been kind of in and out of health. So he's been very close to being in the lineup on a bunch of nights. And then by center's men going down, Mark actually coming out affected his ability to get back in the lineup. So we kind of take a look at it now on a 2 or 3 day block of what's best for him, what's best for the Jets. And as we get healthier, the set of circumstances that we'll make decisions on will change.
I was gonna say, where do you stand in the, you know, practicing with the big club versus maybe the benefits of maybe going down to the AHL for a stretch?
Well, I think playing for a young player takes priority for sure, but the Winnipeg Jets need hockey players, and we've had seven guys, and he's played for us and played well for us. And as I said, he would be in, if it was different positions injured, he'd have been in our lineup.
So I guess just to follow up on that, at what point has he been inactive too long for his age?
Well, any game that he doesn't play 20 minutes, but it's not career ending, right? So he's going to get back into play. There are other things that you'll look at going forward. For Oster Freezes is going to come into the play. The fact that the Moose have a 10-day block off, which is highly unusual, but they've got a big block of time that if he's there, he's not playing. So those are things that we have to consider as well.
Your top six guys, you've kind of played everyone with everyone so far this year.
Yep.
And found success. Just a word on the options that those players give you.
What's the positive silver lining of all the injuries that we've had is, as you said, we've had to play everybody. And now making adjustments on the bench, a player's not left with, oh my God, what just happened? I just lost my spot. I've been playing there for 30 games and he's decided to change. We've had to move and change people in games. It seems like a lot of our injuries happen early in games and the guy's done for the night, so we're moving a lot of people around. It's been really good for me to see players in places that we normally wouldn't. I think we may have found a place for Andrew Kopp in terms of where he really been. He's great on the wing, but we're going to use him at center tonight, and he's been good in the face-off circle. We've got a real comfort level now with Blake coming into the middle. And almost all those wingers have played left and right-hand sides. So it just means it's a part of the reason why we survived the injuries that we had. You know, and just open up your web browser and read the headlines. There's some teams that have injuries now, and they're devastating and they're terrible. Then when they lose five more guys, they'll go through what we're going through. So being able to move these pieces around and then having these young kids come in and play well has been critical.
Is it common to see that level of chemistry between so many players, especially when you throw in an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old?
Well, if they work their butts off, they've got some chemistry. You know, you put three guys out there, and I would say that Adam Lowry's line over this year might be the poster child's children for that group, because Adam came in and he played at some point with Matthias and Lowry, and they were generating, and Armijo were generating a tremendous amount of offense, and his wingers have just continually changed to the point we started to put players in there that you wouldn't view as necessarily defensive-minded players. And Marco Daniels has been able to go in there. You'll see Matty Perreault spend some time there, and Adam's game is starting to evolve where there's less of the, there's more of a belief that there's some offense in that line, that you can play them not just as a shutdown line, but maybe there's a size advantage against a certain line and think of them differently. Having different styles of players in their games means there's easier chemistry. Now when we move Dano left, right, and he goes from Lowry or to Scheifele, nobody's wondering why it happens. They've all seen them create that in different roles.
Well, have you seen from Brian playing with Patrick Laine, has he had to adjust his style of game? Has he had to change it anyway? And how much of that goes into your decision to play with a guy as quick as Patrick?
I think he might tell you that he makes adjustments to the game, but he doesn't view his job any differently. So when you think of Ladd and Frolik on the wings, he played against the other team's best. His game looks like that. He still made plays. He still tried to generate, but he didn't ever abdicate the responsibility that he had. And then here he's got two pretty offensive guys on the wings, but he still understands that when we don't have the puck, he has a job that he has to do at center ice. The reason I think it's been such a good fit is because he views the game that way. He's not saying, okay, now I'm really going to open it up and let's see how many we can score. He still does an important job there with those kids. And the biggest one, at least as important as his play, is his instruction on the bench and his mentorship and also leading by example. And I felt both Patty and Nick have made more safe, correct, smart plays in their games together, and absolutely not taking any of their offense away. They're generating probably more. And for me, putting guys, that just means I can play them more. I can not worry about the matchup as much or trying to keep them away from the other team's best as much.
It's easy to credit Patrick with his shot and, you know, obviously his skill for his success this year, but how much of it is his ability to communicate with his line mates? Brian says something that, you know, very easy to talk to, very easy, grasp the game well, and that communication.
Well, he's humble and he's smart. He's got lots of confidence in his game, but when he says to you that his goal is to come in here and make the team, I truly believe, and we would laugh at that now and say, of course he's going to make the team, but he came in here and didn't know that. He's 18 years old. He's never played in the NHL. He wants to make the team. So he'll talk to guys about the game, and he's smart. So he understands. Some players will fight you on the adjustments they have to make young players to come in the NHL, because they hear from all the people around, just play your game, you'll be fine. But this is a different game. This is a different league. So he's open to the adjustments that he has to make in his game to be good, because there's a big piece of this game that nobody's teaching him. All that other part, how it gets on is not stick, and how it gets off is stick, and what he sees, we're not working with him on that.
So last one for me. Blake said over the weekend that he felt, despite the youth on this team, that they don't get too high, don't get too low, that there's a weird kind of even-keeledness to a team that's so young. How do you gauge the temperature of your team after wins or big wins or big losses?
I felt 2.5 years ago this team suffered their losses far too strongly. They really did. Every loss was devastating to them. Part of it is the frequency of it, right? They lost a lot of hockey, and usually that comes from a lack of confidence. That loss could be the 2 points, and it, maybe a piece of it's being in the scrutiny of a Canadian market, right? You can't walk around with it. If you've played well and lost, you're still not allowed to smile around town. And there's a little bit more confidence in this group, so they feel good about it. They're a little more resilient, I think. But I don't think that's a function of youth. I think that's a function of leadership. I think that Blake Wheeler and Mark and Buff, they each have a different personality in the room, and each one of their personalities has come out as it's needed. You know, Blake's a very intense person. Mark's connected to everybody in the room, and Buff loves coming to the rink every day. So even after a loss, he's got a smile, and he's excited about that next game. I think their personalities now have kind of taken over the leadership.
Just a quick philosophical question, Paul. What goes into a coach's decision when you're choosing your shootout lineup, especially when you've had as few as you've had this year?
Historical numbers, current numbers, so what a guy's done over his career, what a guy's done recently. We haven't had a big numbers of that. And then you almost always see us put our highest percentage or the hot guy in the two hole. So he gets, especially a guy like Patty, gets a look at least. So we do like, I'm sure, every NHL team. Both goalies, pretty much every shootout shot they've taken is available for our guys to watch before the game, so they have an idea of tendencies. And then after you get, I mean, the number drops pretty significantly on most teams, on people who've had success, to below the one-third number. You're looking for a guy that's feeling good about his game. And there are times, I mean, I've had Hall of Fame players say, not tonight, I don't have it. They'll go. They just don't want to go in the top three. You know, we were in, beat Ottawa on a shootout one night, and John Pohl scored because they looked down for the big Swede, and he said no and pointed to John Pohl. So there you go. Like, there's a bit of who's hot tonight, but at the end of the day, in the top part of it, especially for teams that every point is so important to you, you put out your best.
Do you have guys that tell you they don't like doing it on this team?
Not here. I mean, they all think they can do it here, which is great, right? There's been players that hate the shootout, that know they have to go because their numbers say that they're that kind of guy. They've had even some success, so it's not like you guys, you know, 1 for 10. But there'd be players that love it and players that don't. You know what? It's a good question, and it's a good theory, and there will love to get to a point today where you would feel that comfortable. I put an American League defenseman in a shootout in Montreal as a call up in Carolina. He was 7 for 10 in the American League. I'm not sure it got anywhere near the net or the backboards. My GM was not as enthused about the pick as I was. And he was very clear and direct about that post game.